The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Have they played the Super Bowl yet, Kelly?
Not yet.
Oh, thank God.
Only six more days. We should get one of those clocks going.
Let's get it. Let's get it done.
Right here. No, wait. Other hand, right here on screen.
How was your weekend, man? You had a good weekend?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was busy. I slept a ton. Fantastic.
No football.
It's great.
Unless you consider that Pro Bowl thing yesterday football. I will say this. I lasted 25 seconds watching that. And then I saw all these people on the strip going in their random football jerseys to Allegiant for this Pro Bowl event. And I felt to my, and I said to myself, all of these people have been duped, hoodwinked, run amok. It's just unbelievable.
Are there any, please tweet at us if anybody has any positive reviews of it. Because all I saw was,
zero.
I was at Circa doing a show yesterday, and then it was on a TV as I sat at the bar, but I didn't really watch it. It looked terrible. I saw, was it Ramsey? Ramsey leveled someone. There was like a lateral.
Oh, really? And
Ramsey laid a shoulder on Tyreek, I believe.
Really?
I think it was Tyreek Hill.
A little Sean Taylor style?
Yeah, a little Sean Taylor throwback style.
Nice. All those guys, all those players were up in the middle of the strip, though. You could walk by Jamar Chase, walk by Debo. I walk by all these guys. Debo is massive.
I mean, look, as long as they make it more of a fan immersive experience, I don't have a problem with them keep doing it. You just don't expect people like me and you to be watching it or caring about it.
Christy Andrews on the show today. Obviously, no guessing lines, but any excuse we have to have Christy on the show, we take. He will be with us later on. Dan Bespris, assistant GM at Sports Ethos, to talk NBA with us. And, oh, thank you, Kyrie, for some content this morning. Boy, we got to talk about this at the top. Jim Root, what a college basketball weekend. Whole bunch of games between ranked opponents on Saturday. We'll get to Jim's thoughts on all. And Jim's thoughts moving forward. Jim Root from Three Man Weave talking college basketball with us about conference bets. Are there any conference bets to be made? Those are available at DraftKings as well. And how about Hall of Fame kicker Morton Anderson on the show today? Kelly, what's that all about?
Let's go.
How about that?
Yeah, we got Super Bowl week, baby.
Get his thoughts on place kicking throughout the NFL, Butker versus Elliott, and then the game itself. Hall of Famer, one of only two kicker-only Hall of Famers in the National Football League.
Are you serious?
Hall of Fame, yeah. Jan Stenerud and Morton Anderson.
Wow.
That's the list. That's the list. Oh, and you know what else we got to talk about? Got to talk about the Grammys.
Just real quick, does Justin Tucker have a chance, you think?
Oh, no question, he's the third.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's on his own level.
Like, because I guess right away I started thinking in my head, did they maybe just shut that down?
No. Dude, if you go back and you look at, like, Jan Stenerud kicking and then you look at Justin Tucker, it's like he's, for this generation, he's that much greater than Jan Stenerud was for his.
Is, like, Vinatieri not, I mean, has he not qualified
That's
yet?
A good question about Vinatieri. Because he retired.
Maybe there's not been enough years.
I don't think he's been retired 5 years yet. Yeah. Vinatieri would be another one because he made so many big kicks.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think we'd go deep dive field goal. Place kicking here. Anyway, we have.
You never know what I'm going to get curious about.
We do have to talk about the Grammys because this should be filed under missed betting opportunity. I dropped the ball on the Grammys because there was a massive bunch of upsets in the Grammys yesterday, which also was completely unwatchable. We'll get to that a little later. I do want to talk about Kyrie first, though. So Friday, we leave a numbers game. And, you know, it's like, okay, weekend. Nothing's going on. NBA trade deadline still 6 days away at that point on Friday. I go play tennis with Todd. And then as I'm coming out, you know, Will Hill is texting me and Felica. And Will Hill is always joking about stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, Kyrie, request to get trade. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, great. That's hilarious. And he goes, no. And he sends, like, legit Kyrie actually is requesting a trade from legit NBA reporters. After which I text you, Kelly, and I'm like, is this guy serious? Is Kyrie serious? So we go to the Raiders Grill at the M, and they have massive TVs there. So ESPN's on, ESPN2. They are covering Kyrie's request for a trade like it's the Watergate hearings.
I love it.
It's just unbelievable. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, this is the most, like, so anyway.
Greatest reality TV show ever, the NBA.
This one, we didn't even get a chance to bet on what team he's, like, did that get out there?
It happened so fast. I don't even think that got posted.
So let's just start there.
Actually, it did at some shops.
Oh, it did very quickly, yeah. I mean, let's just start there. Kyrie demanding a trade after everything that's gone down. And we're talking wouldn't take the vaccine, so missed all the home games last year because of New York state laws. The, how can I put this, bout with anti-Semitism? Is that the proper way of saying
like
that?
Like it's an illness.
Yes. He had a little bout of anti-Semitism earlier. Remember, we had people on this show coming back saying they didn't think Kyrie would ever play in the NBA again, let alone have to make trade requests later. So he couldn't come to terms with a long-term extension with the Brooklyn Nets, because guess what, Kyrie, you're unreliable. So why should a team, Brooklyn Nets or otherwise, currently make a long-term deal with you, especially the Brooklyn Nets? And so he and his family agents, because remember he doesn't have a real agent, it's like in the family, and he's like, no. That's not good enough. I want the full extension. I want the max deal. And so the Nets this time, he's like, trade me. The Nets this time, unlike the offseason when he's made trade demands before, this time the Nets are like, you know what? Yeah, we're trading you, like immediately. And so they decided to sift through the offers at that point, and the one they accepted was from the Dallas Mavericks, which is Dorian Finney-Smith, Spencer Dinwiddie, a 2029 first-round pick, and a 2027 and 2029 second-round pick in both of those years. Go to the Brooklyn Nets, pardon me, for Kyrie and Markieff Morris. I think we can all agree it's not exactly a Herschel Walker kind of trade there. And the reason for that is because you are a completely volatile, unreliable human being. No one can count on you. And so the Nets had no leverage whatsoever.
And it's a rental.
And it's a rental. Yeah. And the Mavericks can decide at that point, hey, if somehow this works with Luka, which, by the way, is a massive if, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they can decide if they want to sign him to a long-term deal. But basically, Kyrie made his own bed and then is complaining about the bed he made, and here's where we are. And so he is now a Maverick. And so the question becomes,
I just don't know. What does Kyrie want out of his NBA career? That's what I don't get.
He's never happy. He's never happy. He's not happy with anything.
I mean, like, if all you cared about is winning, there was no better chance you were going to have than the team you were on.
Clearly, that's not at play.
I mean, clearly.
So the question becomes, does this induce a bet? I don't know why I use the word induce. Perhaps more likely to induce labor than it is to induce a bet. But it's like, why? Like, would you bet the Mavericks here anyway, any which way? Would you bet the Nets now? Well, again, now we're 3 days ahead of the trade deadline. The Nets widely believed yesterday, when you're reading through things, to not be done. Would you make a bet either way here?
They can't be, or else Kevin Durant's forcing his way off this team, too. I would expect that they're going to make more moves because they have to try to protect Kevin Durant from leaving as much as they possibly can. As of right now, to me, there's no bet to be made. The bet to be made was Bucks to win the East as soon as the Nets. As soon as the rumors started on Friday. Because I think I talked about that even Thursday or Friday, is that that's my pick to win the Eastern Conference. But odds were too short to even bet. Now they're way too short to bet right now. I'd rather just wait till the playoffs, make sure everybody's healthy for the Bucks in the Eastern Conference. But, I mean, pretty simply, Gil, as far as the East, and we can look at some of this a little bit later too, but as far as the East goes, this is a two-team race. It's a two-horse race now to me. And it's probably, to win the entire NBA Finals, it's a two-horse race between the Celtics and the Bucks. That's who I have way up top. And a third team, I don't even really think that is that close. Now, as far as it goes to Nets, Mavs specific bets, I'm going to be looking forward to when we see yes-no playoff odds get released, when we see updated win totals get released. None of that stuff was up this morning yet. One that JVT and I identified on Friday when we were looking at bets is to make the play-in tournament. The Nets were like 12-1 to make the play-in tournament. I thought
to fall back.
Yeah, to fall back. I thought that had a little bit of value on it at the time.
Well, you also, I mean, and let's throw those odds up again. So the Nets odds have gotten longer, but basketball alchemy is an interesting thing, right? Just because you had Kyrie doesn't mean you're going to play better. He's obviously a mercurial talent. He's incredible. No one doubts his talent. But the Nets have gone from +320 Friday to +700 to win the East. They've gone from 6-1 to 20-1 to win the NBA Finals. But I don't know. Maybe they get some players here that actually makes them in the wash.
It could be
a better basketball team. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, look, the from the overall trade standpoint, it's the Nets got a little bit worse, and the Mavs got a little bit better.
There's
not much. It's one of those you can't really overblow. Dorian Finney-Smith is a fantastic two-way player, great defensive talent, great wing defensive player that the Nets will happily take over on their team. Spencer Dinwiddie, okay, if we're going to compare Kyrie Irving and Spencer Dinwiddie, guess what? Kyrie Irving is a better version of Spencer Dinwiddie. So you got Spencer Dinwiddie back and Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, we'll see. Obviously, Dinwiddie's been with the Nets before. That didn't work out so well. So maybe he's moved again here. I don't really know. I think you're right, though, in what you're hinting at with the don't assume this is done with Brooklyn. And look, maybe it's not as big of a hit for them as some may think.
And I also laugh at the 2029 first-round pick and the 2027 and 2029 second-rounders, which is like the equivalent of me saying, you know, Kelly, I'm going to trade my my son that I might, you know, that I might give birth, you
right,
know,
yeah,
I
yeah.
might have a hand in giving birth to.
Kelly's going to be his middle name.
Yeah. I mean, that owner, Cy might be gone by then. Who knows? Like, he doesn't care. Here you go. Or the Mavericks. Mark Cuban could be done by then. There you go. Take these picks. And then there's the whole Kevin Durant part of this, which we have to get to a little later on, just in terms of legacy. And
I mean, that's the biggest part of this, too.
You left what I have always called on this show the most beautiful thing in sports for this dude, and now this dude is gone.
Do it on your own, KD. That's what you wanted.
Such a waste. Morton Anderson on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's BetMGM Sports, of course. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Physically located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. I guess I didn't have much to add to that comment about KD, Kelly, other than just to say, you know, beat it home again, that Kevin Durant, with the most beautiful thing in sports, the Golden State Warriors, they won two championships together with KD in that uniform. And he just decided, I'm gonna hook up with my buddy Kyrie, go to Brooklyn. We're going to start something there. Well, they didn't win a thing. And, you know, in all, Kyrie Irving played 143 out of a possible 278 games. So just over half that he was available for. It's 52%. Just horrible.
It is so tough, though. It is so tough to have a conversation about this guy, because there is the guy on the court and the guy off the court.
We can say that about both guys. Who are we talking about now, KD or
Kyrie? Oh,
Kyrie.
I'm talking Kyrie. I mean, look, KD, I think, I don't know. I think, has he acted immature sometimes off the court? Sure, but I think a lot of professional athletes do. For Kyrie,
much less toxic.
Yeah, Kyrie, yeah. I mean, someone will write books one day about what he's, you know, who he was off the court. But, I mean, the one thing not to lose here is he is an incredible on the court
talent.
He's
amazing.
He really is.
Which is why someone still might give him $200 million one day.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know what he thinks. This is the... Like, you know, I'm thinking if he wants to win, he wants rings. I think we've already settled that he doesn't, but if he wanted to, right, you just left your best opportunity at getting that. And, like, if this continues, Gil, like, you're just going to end up on the Oklahoma City Thunder or something for the rest of your career.
Of course he is. And he won the title with LeBron. Let's not forget, he hit the shot right against the Warriors. 2016-17 NBA season, I believe that was the year. Was that the year? Or was it 20? I can't remember the year now. But that's his title, and it was his best opportunity. Couldn't make that work, right? He just wanted it to be about him. Couldn't coexist. KD's a more sad thing to me, where it's just like, dude, you've been chasing whatever you've been chasing. You had it too. You won a couple titles in Golden State. You thought you wanted to make it on your own kind of deal. What a waste.
I've never been.
And this dude just turned his back on you.
He's another guy I've never been a big fan of off the court.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a less toxic version.
It's a less toxic version. Because it was OKC to Golden State where I'm like, man, you gave up. You gave up, bro. Like, you're so good. You want to put your stamp your name in the greatest of on the list of greatest of all times? You don't do it by joining Steph Curry and everything that's going on there in Golden State. And then it's the cockiness or whatever, right, of leaving Golden State, that I'm going to go do this on my own.
Yeah.
And then it's...
But do it for all the dumbest reasons ever.
Exactly.
Because I'm friends with this guy.
Exactly.
Again, not to sound like I'm 1,000 years old, but you think Jordan does that? You think that era of basketball players does that? Pardon me. Yeah. It is what it is, and now we'll see if the Luka Kyrie thing even has any legs at all. I mean, what if it just hampers Luka's performance? What if it's just, okay, now it's your turn on the court and it's my turn on the court kind of thing? That's very possible, too.
So people were asking me a lot about that yesterday. I think we've seen a little bit what this is going to be like already. It was last year with Jalen Brunson. It was really when Brunson came on. Gil, it's going to be one of those guys is going to be on the court
taking turns
at all times.
Taking turns.
And then people have asked me, you know, does this mean more of Luka off the ball if when they're both on the court? Yeah, maybe. I think the one thing to keep in mind, though, for people out there is, you know, when Harden was on the Nets, what really happened last year at the beginning of last season when he was still on the Nets was that they basically switched roles. Him and Kyrie switched roles, where Harden was really taking over the majority of the point guard duties, and Kyrie Irving had slid over to that two-guard spot more. So, look, him and Luka are very interchangeable at both those spots. You're not going to want to take the ball out of Luka Doncic's hands very much. So I would expect more Luka handling the ball with Kyrie more in that off-ball spot.
Well, the best bet that we recommended was last week when we said Bucks to have the most wins in the NBA when all was said and done. They were 3 games behind in the win column to the Celtics. They're now 1 game behind, and then somebody on Twitter was smart enough to say, hey, what about just the Bucks getting a number one seed? Ours was 8-1. His was plus 1250. Yes, that was the best bet. And now that bet looks even better. Incrementally better, for sure. So that's the deal there. Now, in terms of the Grammys last night, because I do want to bring this up because this is a missed opportunity for us. And Wes Reynolds, who's the glue that holds this whole operation together, he was all over this because there was a slew of upsets. You could bet on these in certain spots in the world. I don't know if DraftKings had these up or not, but the Grammys, what a betting opportunity if you got to it. Wes Reynolds with a slew of tweets. First of all, Bonnie Raitt's just like that. 50-1 to win Song of the Year, the biggest long shot on the board. It comes home. Even Bonnie Raitt was shocked. 50-1 to win Song of the Year. That was the first salvo. But then there was more of these that came through at the Grammys. Lizzo. What you know about Lizzo, Kelly? About Damn Time. 28.
Heard the name before.
28-1 to win Record of the Year. You don't know that one? In a minute, I'm gonna need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up.
I'll tell you what, man. I had to Google the best song of the year. That was an educational experience.
Song versus record?
Yes.
One's songwriting, one's, yeah. So, wait, there's more. So 50-1 and 28-1. How about this one? Another upset of the Grammys. Now, this one cracked me up, and this one lets you know you're 1,000 years old. Samara Joy, I believe that's how you pronounce that, was 28-1 to win Best New Artist. Look at all the other names of these artists that were nominated. Kelly, I don't know a single one of them.
Okay, good. So it's not Rip on Kelly Day. Good.
What you know about Wet Leg at 10-1?
I thought partially you were sending me these today just to rip on me for not knowing any of these people.
No, this is where I know Lizzo is and I know what Bonnie Raitt is, but I don't know any of these people.
Wet Leg. What's Wet Leg? I want to listen to some Wet Leg now.
Can you imagine that meeting, that group? Let's go with Wet Leg. And then one more. Hold on, there's one more. Okay. We're not even done yet. It's amazing. So again, 50-1, 28-1. I don't remember the word.
Awesome.
And then
God
and then,
bless Wes Reynolds. I
mean, God right, bless
like, this
Wes
is,
Reynolds.
I mean, this guy does so much with every sport and then goes home and is keeping track of all the odds that hit with every one of these songs at the Grammys.
Bro, the Grammys was unwatchable too. You thought the Pro Bowl was unwatchable? The Grammys. Like, again, it's like you listen to this music and you're like, is this good? Is this Harry Styles, 4-1. Third choice on the betting board for Album of the Year. So not as long of a long shot as the others, but still, Beyonce, minus 225 favorite, she gets snubbed Beyonce, by the way, did win 4 awards. That makes her the biggest Grammy Award winner of all time for those scoring at home, even though she didn't win in any of the big categories. Renaissance got crushed.
So I did have the Grammys on a TV as well, because as I was complaining to you during a break, one of my remotes broke this weekend, so it's literally just stuck on CBS.
Yeah.
So I did have it on with no volume.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my biggest takeaway from watching the Grammys without listening to it was, oh man, does Jay-Z look a lot older since the last time I've seen him.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know when the last time I've seen him is.
He's not a young dude anymore, that's for
but
sure.
Yeah, he's getting up there. 53 years old. I thought he looked like a lot older than that, actually.
There was a hip-hop tribute, which is cool, I guess. That's so funny that of all the networks for your TV to be stuck on, it's CBS.
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 So I got to catch up on local news last night.
So anyway, I'm just knocking myself, because I used to, on the Beating the Book podcast years ago, we used to do Grammy episodes. And so this was like the biggest of them all in terms of long shots coming home. Maybe for next year, Kelly. We got to be more cultured.
As Wes points out, a massively missed betting opportunity, right? I mean, that was long shots coming home in all those categories. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Because girls is players, too. Is that too young to be nominated? That's the jam right there. Kelly.
We'll have Morton Anderson up next.
Okay, we will have Morton Anderson. You have a golf bet pending today. Pebble Beach, because of the weather.
It's getting sweaty.
Knocked into today. Who are we rooting for you?
Brendan Todd. Brendan Todd. It's three syllables there. Brendan Todd, 80-1, trying to get home. I do have a piece of Justin Rose. I did buy on him yesterday.
Did you? Nicely done.
About +320, I think I got on him. So, obviously, that's not nearly as big. Brendan Todd needs you to put her going today, baby. Let's heat it up and get one home.
Flat stick. Jim Nance rolling out of his house at Pebble Beach to do this one.
How nice is that?
It's a beautiful thing.
You were texting me and said, so many people texted me like, this Denny McCarthy can't miss. That's what Denny McCarthy does. If he's on the green, it's him and a couple other guys on tour that their best skill set is the putter and honestly not much else. But if he can hit approach shots, he's dangerous.
Why aren't there more big names in this tournament? Because the weather sucks so bad?
Oh, no, it's mainly because next week. I can talk about this forever. So, Gil, you know how many guys? The cut didn't even happen yet yesterday, right? You know how many guys withdrew to play in the qualifier this
morning?
For waste management.
Wow. Interesting. Justin Rose, 2-stroke lead right now with 9 holes left to play. Kelly's guy, Brendan Todd, 6 holes to play, 2 shots back. Pebble Beach. Coming back, Morton Anderson talking Super Bowl 57 with us. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the Visa experts have got you covered. Become a Visa Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on the limited time offer, though. It is limited. Keep that in mind. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is truly one of the greats. Place kicking in the National Football League. Kicking field goals, of course, was his game. Mr. Automatic, the Great Dane, played in the NFL from 1982 all the way to the year 2007, most notably for the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. Was named to the all-decade team in the 1980s. Was named to the all-decade team in the 1990s. And most notably, one of 2 field goal kicking exclusive players inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, along with Jan Stenerud. It is Morton Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, and naturally, what he would like to talk about first is the Grammys. How you doing, Morton? Thanks for doing this.
Hey, doing great. Great to be with you. Yeah, so I just overheard what you guys were talking about feeling old, and I have to concur. I recorded it, so I didn't have to sit through stuff I didn't want to sit through, which was 80% of it.
That's right.
But
yeah.
When I saw ABBA, I raised my hands in the air because that was the only group I knew.
That's
ABBA
awesome.
I wonder what the odds are were on them winning a Grammy, because they I don't think they did.
I believe the Grateful Dead won a Grammy. That's how You know, that's how far back they went.
I know them.
Yes, I figured you would. Them.
Anyway, yeah, you're right. It was a time capsule, man. I was like, wow, I'm 62, and where's Creedence Clearwater Revival back on Turner Overdrive? Where's Led Zeppelin, you know? Right, anyway.
So they milked 4 hours out of that broadcast.
Impressive, I have to say. Yeah. I thought the guy Noah did a good job, but, I mean, 4 hours, that's like the Baton Death March, man.
Well, glad we could relate on the same thing with the Grammys. It does make you feel old when you don't know any of the names for Best New Artist. Morton, listen, before I get into like Super Bowl 57 specific, I'm just curious because we have the opportunity to sort of get from your perspective as someone who really did his best to perfect the craft of place kicking, almost, you know, hitting at an 80% rate throughout your career. Now, when you look at the NFL place kickers as a whole, as a group, 32 teams wide, are you amazed by, I know you were able to do this, but just the league-wide proficiency at kicking 50-plus yard field goals? Let's start there. And I guess conversely, also the strange effect of having moved the extra point back and that troubling kickers.
Yeah, it's amazing what they're doing now. You're right. They're very proficient. The 60-yarder is the old 50-yarder. The 50-yarder now is the old 40-yarder. There's a couple of reasons I think this, you know, when I was coming up in the league in the 80s and 90s, we didn't have a designated long snapper. You know, we didn't have the K-balls. We had a sweaty offensive lineman that just went on a 12-play drive with gloves on, and now he had to put on a different hat and snap the ball back 7 yards, not 8 yards as it is now, 7 yards. And that evolved over time. The 7 went to 7.5, and now it's at 8 yards to snap on place kicks. We didn't really have a designated holder. It was whoever you could talk into holding the ball. Now it's pretty much the punter. You know, sometimes I would have a backup quarterback. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to hold the clipboard and be involved in the offense. But yet I got him to kneel down and take a snap. But so there's a couple of reasons I think they've gotten better. The talent pool's there. And also back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, a lot of the kickers were foreign-born. They were imported from soccer leagues and from Europe and South America and Mexico. Now most of them are American-born. So they do it earlier. They do it from, you know, from junior high, from little league. They start kicking at an earlier age. So that in it by itself makes them better. You also have a large pool of retired NFL guys now that were really good in the league who are coaching and out there with clinics and out there with companies that help these young kids. So there's a lot more talent coaching. The special teams, I just remember the special teams guys, coaches in the old days, they left us alone, you know, if it wasn't broken. And if it was broken, they got another guy. And that was pretty much it. There was no teaching, oh, your plant foot's too close to the ball or, you know, any of those things. So guys are better. You look at Justin Tucker, you look at these guys, and they're kicking at a very high. But all they have all the tools too.
Yeah.
So do high level, but they have the tools.
Do you look at a Justin Tucker in the same way? And I'll make a tennis comparison. Do you look in the same way that John McEnroe looks at Roger Federer and says, "Oh my God, this guy is better than I could ever have imagined being"? Do you look at a Justin Tucker and sort of look at him as alien to you, like this couldn't have happened?
No, because I was really good. I was the man in the 80s and 90s, and
I know you were.
I think Stenerud was looking at me going, who's this beast, right?
Yeah.
So everything has its time and place, and I think we just acknowledge that, and we don't demean any particular era because it's different. You can't compare. It's not apples to apples. It just isn't. I think I would have flourished in this environment had I been 40 years younger.
I don't think there's anybody who watched you play that would have doubted that for 1 second. Let's talk.
But I'm not diminishing what Justin, you know.
Yeah.
As far as the extra points, that's a 33-yard field goal, and that's the mindset that you ought to have. That's what I tell my guys that I work with. It's not an extra. It's a 1-point field goal from 33 yards. And so, what happens a lot of times with these guys? They try to aim too much instead of just find the middle and trust the middle. Why do we aim for the middle? Because the middle never changes. Very simple. So hit it and trust it. You can't guide these short kicks. you should make 40 yards and in 10 out of 10 times in the NFL. If not, you really shouldn't be there.
Super Bowl 57, if it comes down to a game-winning kick, who do you trust more, Harrison Butker of the Chiefs or Jake Elliott of the Philadelphia Eagles?
They're both pretty good. I think both have strong legs. Harrison's kind of had a rough go at it, mostly with the extra points, but he made a big kick in the championship game to put the Chiefs in. So Elliott has kicked a bunch. I don't know how many game-winning kicks he's had. It's every time I looked at the Eagles, it looked like they were blowing somebody out. So, and they score, you know, in the first quarter, they usually get up by two or three touchdowns. I think they're one of the teams that just, they may lead the league in first quarter scoring. You guys would know that more than I haven't looked at the research, but it always looked like second quarter, Eagles are up 21-0. So Harrison Butker has probably been tested a little bit more in game deciding situations, but I think they're both very capable. So it's kind of a toss up to me.
How about the game itself? Eagles favored by 2 points, Morton. The total in the game is 50.5. Do you give an edge to either side? Obviously, both of these teams have had stellar seasons. We had the more recent doubts about Patrick Mahomes' injury that has caused some concern for the Chiefs. He appeared to get through that okay this past week, though maybe a keener eye saw differently. Jalen Hurts has had his own injury problems. How do you view this game? Where do you lean?
It's tight. It's a tight game. Both good offenses. Quarterbacks that are mobile. Eagles can run the football. They led the league in rushing touchdowns. It was 38 or 39 touchdowns. So that's going to help them possess the ball and have Mahomes just chill on the sideline. But it could go, you know, I really like Andy Reid as a guy that will have something up his sleeve, something new, something. And you're certainly with the offensive arsenal he has, they'll be able to do something really creative, which they're very good at. But I kind of like the Eagles in this one. I think they've had the season that kind of had solidified them as the NFC favorite. They took care of business at home field advantage like Kansas City, but I think their road has been a little bit smoother in Kansas City. And I think Kansas City is also a little more banged up than the Eagles. But I think it's a field goal game either way you look at it.
By the way, this is for prop players. They use a different ball for kickoffs to begin the Super Bowl than they do otherwise. Are you aware of that? Do you believe in that being a more difficult kick to have as a touchback? Some people bet on this kind of thing in the Super Bowl.
Well, I always thought that they had for every play there was a new ball brought in. So if that's not, that's something we might have to look up. I thought every play had a new ball. I don't think it'll make a difference. You know, put a ball down, aim it, fire.
Aim and fire. Yeah, they do it for commemorative reasons in the Super
Bowl
that's
cool.
Itself. Yeah.
Morton, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah.
Morton, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you. We'll both try to learn some music for next year so we don't feel as old as we do right now.
Dancing Queen with Appa. I'm all over that.
Okay. We'll mark that down. Thank you, Morton. Morton Anderson, everybody. The Great Dane, NFL Hall of Famer, going with the Eagles. No difference. A wash with the field goal place game between Butker and Elliott as well. We'll come back. We will have Jim Root on to talk some college hoops with us. Big day Saturday. Lots of ranked teams playing each other. Some tight ones, some low-scoring ones. Some teams announcing themselves again. We'll get into all that and his thoughts on some conference odds throughout college basketball. See if there's any value in any of these conferences around the country. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Skill Alexander. Kelly, I want to do a review of my interview with Morton Anderson.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's going on over there, Cappy Giggles?
It started really well when he wanted to talk about the Grammys, and then I had the audacity, the moxie, the sheer chutzpah of asking him if he looks at Justin Tucker, and it's like, man, this guy's way better than we were. I don't think he liked that question so much.
That was the highlight of the interview. That was the highlight.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
I think the reaction was, awesome. Well, I'm pretty sure one of us is in the Hall of Fame, the other's not, Gil.
The other one's about to be. I didn't mean any offense. My goodness. Almost stepped in it there. That is my review of my interview with Morton Anderson.
He wasn't hating on Tucker at all.
No, he wasn't.
It was very clear, don't even compare us. Different eras.
Don't try it. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Kenny G. Morning, Gil. What's the over-under number of teams Irving plays for in his career? Great show. Thank you. Well, he's played for three already. Cleveland Cavaliers, Boston Celtics, Brooklyn Nets, and now a fourth, the Dallas Mavericks.
Five and a half.
I'm going to go over.
I think at a certain point, he's just going to quit.
It could be five by next year.
Sure. I think at a certain point, Kyrie Irving will quit, too. Like, I don't know if he's playing basketball in 5 years from now.
Jack Cannon. Grammys was very entertaining. Smokey stole the show at this rate in about 2 years. Oh, that's not nice. He's making a mean comment about Beyonce. Smokey didn't steal the show. Smokey's also like, come on, do we really want to? I mean, he's wonderful. He's a legend. Motown. Stevie Wonder was on there, but I don't know if he stole the show. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney. Most miraculous of all, Grateful Dead. Yeah, winning a Grammy. Jerry Garcia will be 28 years gone later this year. Best boxed set. I may have been at one of those shows in 1981, LOL. Jesse Welch. Hey, y'all. Audio sounds fantastic coming live from Radio Row. It's right. By the way, you're welcome. Radio Row. A different Radio Row for Kelly and me just across the Hoover Dam.
Just got a line of old radios that are just mm-hmm. leading to our to us sitting in the desert.
Transistor radios.
Yeah, old transistor radios.
Wet washcloths. Corbin, as a younger person under 25 who is somewhat immersed in music, I've only heard of one of the artists in Best New Artist, and that's Maneskin, but that's because they covered Beggin'. They didn't even get famous on their own show. Hashtag who are you people? Hashtag music sucks now. Over the levee. NASCAR started back up this weekend, started off with a bang, hitting a 15-1 outright. Can we get a Guessing Lines NASCAR edition with producer number 9, Kelly Bidlin, for Daytona?
Everybody's plus 650.
Bro, that would be hilarious. Kelly on that.
Whoa. But I'm big into Super Speedway live betting. And by big, I mean I've done it twice.
Wow, you are big in it.
Yeah. Because there are all these crashes that happen, Gil. There's value that could be had there.
Billy Ripken's bat, reference to an old baseball card. Well, Billy Ripken had a naughty thing on the nub of his bat. Kelly Sweat ain't got nothing on me. Let's go Petar Malnati. Talking about Pebble Beach. And then D-Gen Southern Gent. Once Beyonce won Best EDM Song for Renaissance, we should have realized her night was done. And then after Bonnie won Song of the Year and Adele won Best Pop Solo, we should have known Lizzo would get Record of the Year and Harry Styles would win Album of the Year. Las Vegas 514. Yo, is Wet Leg like the Stinky Leg? On and on with the Grammy tweets. Ladies and gentlemen, here's one-third of the three-man weave college basketball trio. It's Jim Root from Three-Man Weave, everybody. How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm good. Hand up. I did not watch the Grammys, so I don't have any strong takes for you there. I'm gonna have to stick mostly to college basketball here. If you need me to dive into the Super Bowl, I can. But nothing on the Grammys for me.
Sorry, we're going to do a deep dive on the Grammys, Jim. What are you doing here?
I wasn't prepped for this. Come on.
All right, let's just go through. Saturday was a great day of college basketball. Lots of ranked teams play each other, and then there's some that weren't ranked versus ranked. But let me just go through one by one some of these. Let me cherry pick some. UConn has all kinds of difficulty with Georgetown. They end up squeaking by 68-62. UConn, a minute ago, it seemed like, was everybody's in vogue team, Jim. They're like, oh, the team I like the best is UConn. Oh, UConn, right? They're the team to watch out for. They lost 6 of 9 before this Georgetown game, right? And then they squeaked by Georgetown. How do you feel about them now?
I'm not a fan. I was one of the people that was, you know, when they were 10-0 and like 10-0 against the spread to start the year, I was like, wow, this team's a juggernaut. They're unstoppable. They're huge in the front court. They've got plenty of versatile defenders. And then in league play, I think some of the familiarity with opponents has caught up with them, and their guard play has just really circled the drain a little bit. Just haven't been able to figure out how to create shots in the half court against defenses that are prepared for them. And they're struggling to figure out what to do at the center spot. They've got two really good players there, the freshman Klingon and then Sonogo, who's an all Big East caliber guy. But it almost is like they're better when Klingon's on the floor as a shot blocker, even though Sonogo is like the better offensive player. It's just a tough situation right now in the backcourt. I think the lack of shot creation is really what's caught up with them and what's going to be their fatal flaw in the postseason.
Couple games. Kansas got rolled by Iowa State in a game where Kansas was just a slight favorite, and they got beat by 15 at Iowa State. Virginia, in a game that they really didn't feel like they ever had a true chance of winning. Maybe I'm selling them short there, but I felt that way. They were actually dogs at Va Tech. They end up losing. Should we be worried about either Kansas or Virginia, or were those outcomes kind of, you know, expected in some ways?
I would say if I'm picking one I'm more worried about, it'd be Virginia, because like you said, it wasn't really ever a game where they were winning and holding off Virginia Tech. Like, they were trailing, trying to come back the whole time. And just the eye test, it looked like, to me, as I watched, everything Virginia Tech got was a layup or a three. Like, the defense is nowhere near Tony Bennett caliber per his usual years. That's what concerns me. They can score a little more than most Cavs teams, but if you're going to give up that many open cuts for layups and wide open triples, that's not good enough for Virginia, and I have some concerns there.
I felt the same way, and that's as someone holding a Virginia ticket. Let's go through some more of these. Auburn and Tennessee, the Bruce Pearl Bowl, if you will. Tennessee wins it 46-43, and I believe that was with a flurry of points at the end. Is that, as we project those two teams forward, and specifically Tennessee, do you say to yourself, well, that's just outstanding defense. Oh, my God, they're going to be awesome with the defense in the tournament. Or, no, they can't put the ball in the basket. We should all be worried.
I think we got to be a little worried. That's two straight games where they haven't put the ball in the basket. And how many straight years in the postseason have they struggled to put the ball in the basket? So, like, it's a pattern game to game and year to year. I don't like to buy in too much of the narratives of Coach X can't win in the tournament because, you know, he can't until he does. Look at Tony Bennett, look at Jay Wright. Both those guys had that narrative for a while. But Barnes has really struggled against zones, kind of changing defenses in the postseason. They run a lot more off-ball movement, kind of flex-type stuff. They're not as ball screen heavy, and that makes them, I think, less adaptable to some of the opponents they play. And yeah, they just, if they're not making shots, and sometimes they don't even produce good shots, their offense can really stagnate. It feels like them winning a game where both teams are in the 40s is an annual tradition at this point. And while it looks good to the defensive side, I think the offense is the ultimate shortcoming there as they get to the postseason.
One of the more entertaining games on Saturday, if not the most, was Purdue and Indiana. Purdue, the number one team in the country. They go in to Bloomington and get beat by the Hoosiers 79-74. Just an awesome basketball game. Star performers performing at their best. Is your opinion on Purdue, I guess, the same as it was before that game? Meaning, yeah, a good basketball team, but certainly susceptible.
I actually left that game feeling better about Purdue. It really better about both teams. Purdue got down 15 and Indiana was making a ton of shots. And it was like, okay, yeah, environment got the best of Purdue. Their young guards aren't able to play in this kind of a hostile atmosphere. And then they rally back, get all the way back within one. Everybody made plays for them. I mean, Edie is dominant, but I was actually impressed by the role players in that situation. I still think having your best player be a big man is really tough in the postseason. I think they're a little easier to scheme out than a guard, a ball-dominant guard. So they're still not my number one team, but I actually felt a little better about them just given the fact that they're so young and they went to a place that's so hostile and they took a bunch of punches early and they climbed all the way back.
It's good call.
Both these teams are really good, I believe.
And real quick, by the way, that Zach Edey 5-1 to win player of the year was like the best brain dead bet I could have possibly made. In a Saturday where Duke actually played North Carolina, that's not even one I even want to talk about. The last one, and we have 30 seconds here before we go on. Gonzaga St. Mary's. St. Mary's ekes it out in overtime. Are they a sneaky tournament team, perhaps?
They might be. They're really loved by the analytics, and they looked better against athletes than I thought they would. So I actually am starting to warm up to them, too, because Aiden Mahaney, the point guard, can really make plays for them.
Okay. Stick around, if you would, Jim, because I want to ask you about conference regular season odds. Is there a team in any conference around the land that might have some value with the bet? Jim Root from Three Man Weave talking college hoops. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.